Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of June 26th, 2016. This is Jack Bressad-Mills. Conversation today with Oduro, part one of that. It's a rather long one, so we'll do it 2 weeks. But first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week 13. This one I wrote 2 years ago. Verse 13. When I am most alive, exhilarated by this world, there comes to me from my depths a flaming truth. Though it is lovely here, you have dear sisters and brothers, spirits among the stars. And this one I wrote for the same Rudolf Steiner verse. I wrote it last year. Verse 13a. When I rise to the highest my senses know and reach as far as they may go, a flame within lights up truth. This is not far enough. You are spirit. Oduro, we had a lovely conversation. Some people are very deep. I think Oduro is very deep, and I'm very happy to talk with him. He had noise on his end that I faded in and out of. I hope that's not too disturbing. Part two, I just left it alone. I don't know what is better. Maybe you'll tell me. Anyway, thank you very much, Oduro. Here you go.
Yes.
Hey, Oduro.
Aye.
So we just saw each other and we didn't really have any deep conversations. It would be nice if we could think of a subject.
Yeah.
Because I loved our conversation from 6 months ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you someone who thinks deeply about things? Or are you? I'm sure you are. I know you are. So what do you think deeply about? You know, for me, it's always, if I feel satisfied with my life, I then wonder why I'm satisfied, because I've done nothing that would be important. Maybe I have done the dishes, I've washed the dishes, and then suddenly I feel satisfied. And that's not right. It seems I should be curing cancer, or I should be stopping a war, and then I'll feel satisfied. But I feel satisfied just doing simple things, like taking a walk. I feel really good. And so then I wonder, well, what is it that makes me feel satisfied? Am I wrong to feel good? You know what I mean? That's the kind of thought I have.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong about feeling satisfied within yourself. Life is actually meant to be so that we could be grateful to the Creator. If you're not satisfied with yourself, you'll be mourning about many things, and
yeah,
you won't be happy to say thank you to,
oh yeah,
the Creator.
But of course, that's, if you think about people suffering, mainly, would you say, I think they're suffering because they're not satisfied. And so if I am satisfied so simply by such dumb things like a walk,
mm-hmm,
or doing the dishes, it seems like it's a trick somehow. I've tricked myself. Because why can't other people be satisfied by taking a walk or doing the dishes? They want the stronger feeling of accomplishment, that they have the better job and the better friends. I just feel like I'm cheating somehow.
Yeah.
You know, if you're sad, how do you not be sad? I mean, I'm not talking about the death of a loved one. I'm not talking about the horrible things that happen. I'm talking about a normal person in a normal life, and they're sad. And for me, I can be sad, or I can get up and take a walk.
Right. My problem is that I could be happy sometimes with my life, but, you know, money plays a great part in our lives.
Definitely.
Yeah.
The hunger. So, money is hunger. Money is warmth. Money is everything, yeah.
Yeah. So, if there's not enough money with me at any particular time, I feel like, yeah, maybe I'm not lucky.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, I can't be grateful to the Creator. Yeah. Because there is this sort of lack.
Yeah.
I'm lacking this. I really don't need the substance money, but what I want to do with the money is what I need.
Yes.
Yeah. So if I don't have the money, it means I have no access to what I need. And then there is a sort of, let me call it depression.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I have often rated our needs. You know, if you have to use the restroom, if you have to pee, you are almost an animal sometimes. You have to pee, and nothing else can be in your mind sometimes. If it's urgent, you cannot be kind any longer. You cannot be giving and happy. You must now go.
Yeah.
And then maybe hunger is a little less stressful. You can maybe put off hunger a little easier, but it's still very serious. You must eat. You can't expect a man to be kind and generous when he's hungry.
Yeah.
And then warmth, of course, you're shivering. How can you be generous and kind if you're freezing?
Yeah.
So when you're talking money, you must be talking of these things.
That's right.
Or is it the fear of these things? Is it the fear that drives a person, you know, to really be hungry and to really be cold?
Yeah.
Is different than, I often have the fear of hunger and the fear of cold.
Yeah.
But I can't really say that I have been ever hungry. You know, people can go 3 days, 4 days, 5 days without eating.
Yeah.
But I've never done that.
Me too.
And so the depression, I think, when I have it, it's, I think I see the trend of my money. I see, oh my goodness, it will not last.
Yeah.
Oh my, I'm going to be hungry. Is that true with you too, that you fear the hunger?
Yeah, I fear that one, but sometimes I can control my own hunger a bit longer, but when I anticipate hunger for my daughter, for example.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
For others.
Then, yeah. The fear in me gets greater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The responsibility.
Yeah.
Is so great.
So, I can forego my own meal in order to prevent hunger for my daughter.
This feeling, so, go ahead, please continue.
Yeah, helping my daughter to survive or not to be hungry.
Yeah.
Helping her to get the clothing she needs is a priority over my own.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So I think sometimes even that her happiness, her survival is now more important, because I view myself as having spent a greater part of my life, and she is now young and she needs many things for herself. I want her to live maybe better than I have lived. So I give her some things when I can, or I forego certain things and then I give what she needs. So
yeah, of course,
helping other people sometimes helping them is more important to me at certain times than helping myself.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
And the more advanced we are, if we believe the holy man is someone who cares for all people.
Yeah.
The more they suffer, in a way, they suffer for all our hunger.
Yeah.
And they worry for all of us. But at the same time, they must... Here's what I think about holy people. They are also thankful that we exist in the first place.
Yeah.
They don't only look at the suffering. They look at the creation in the first place of how we came about.
Yeah.
There's something good about that, I think. I mean, maybe the Buddha didn't think so. I don't know that he really felt that it was a good thing that we were here. He saw that we were suffering, you know, and I think someone who's really advanced, though, can draw strength from the world, but also not take all the responsibility on themselves. You know, the fact that your daughter exists isn't really your doing.
No.
I mean, you could say she is your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, anyone would agree that she is your daughter. And yet, the earth has made her, the God has made her.
Yeah.
And it is the earth's child as much as yours.
Yes.
And yet we take it to be our responsibility alone to figure it out, how to feed her.
Yeah.
But of course, if we were on Mars, or if we were on an earth that did not have food, we could do nothing about it. She would starve. And in a way, it would still be our fault. What are we doing not feeding her? And yet we require that the earth helps. It must make the food available.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get at something where when I look at the world and I see how horrible things are and how humans seem to be wrecking the place, I have to say, who made the humans? You know, it's almost like the earth has developed us either as a curse or a benefit. It has invented humans, and now look what we do to it. And then I look at myself, what can I do? How much responsibility do I have personally that we are wrecking the earth? And it eases my suffering a little to think that it's not my fault. At least it's not all my fault that I can't help, that I am unable to help.
Yeah.
And what is, then of course I turn to what is my responsibility. If I can't create food for my daughter, what is my responsibility? And how much is the responsibility that of the earth itself for creating my daughter?
Yeah.
I don't want to shove the responsibility off of me, but I want to also have the right proportion, you know.
Yeah. The point you mentioned about the earth making us or creating us humans makes me think further. Okay, if the earth made us, who made the earth?
Yes, so we keep going back.
Yes.
And of course you can say the science will say randomness, if you give enough time, then an earth with humans can be created out of nothing. You know, if you have 13 billion years, which we can't understand, we cannot understand a million years. If you have 13 billion years, then you can have an earth full of people. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't answer the question. It does not answer anything.
It doesn't actually solve that riddle.
So then you say there's a creator and there's a purpose. If there's a creator, there's a purpose.
That's it.
And so then the hunger is meant to be hunger. It's really quite a wide open. If you open that lid of that can, then you say, well, why? What kind of creator is it that creates hunger? I look at the beautiful cow this morning on the walk I took, a beautiful cow.
Mm-hmm.
It's paradise to be a cow. You have beautiful grasses everywhere. Cows have grass anywhere. I mean, of course, not everywhere, but the cows I'm looking at.
Yeah.
But they're not happy. They're covered in flies all over their eyes and their nose and their ears all day long, all night long.
Yeah.
And so I think, what a strange place. There's this great joke about God and the angel.
Yeah.
God says, make the ocean to cover all the earth, almost all the earth. And so the angel says, oh, I see, so that people will never be thirsty. And then God says, make it salt water so they can't drink it. And so it's a very strange place that we have suffering. How do you understand this place, Oduro? I haven't asked you this question. How can you understand this place with the possibility of your daughter going hungry? How is it clear? How can you understand?
It's a big question. I've been asking myself almost all the time when I'm with myself alone. Yeah. If we think about the creator, we can say the work of creation he has done is perfect. We have everything. But then, if you look at creation from another perspective, why has he created life and death?
Yeah.
Why has he created love and hatred?
Yes.
Why are good things around and why are bad things also around?
Yeah.
So, did he create people to enjoy life and at the same time to suffer diseases and whatever that bother us? They are all prevalent. So, did the Creator have this foresight of diseases disturbing people? Did he have the foresight of people having good life? Yeah. So what is the main purpose?
So do you have your own answers? Or
I don't have my answers.
And I have my answers, yeah. I think a person has to have some answers that satisfy him. Otherwise, they're just angry or just lost, constantly angry, constantly lost, without some answer for themselves personally to answer that question there. But I wonder, I think a lot of my friends, they just don't really have an answer, but they also don't need one because they sometimes grasp the scientific answer.
Yeah.
And then they go to church and they have the Creator answer.
Yeah.
And then they don't really grab any one answer. They go back and forth. They play with answers. They don't commit themselves to... Well, of course, there are some scientists who are total atheists.
Mm-hmm.
But then if they're really scientists, they find the very basis of matter.
Yeah.
The electron, the quark... They find a certain element of freedom and choice amongst the electrons.
Yeah.
That doesn't really make a solid universe. It makes a spiritual, magical universe.
Yeah.
Which then the true scientist kind of finds a creator within matter.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people, though, they just play with answers. They don't really grasp one or the other answer. And they're never quite committed to a picture of the world that makes sense. They just kind of play with answers, and they go to church one day a week, and then they go back to not being religious 6 days a week.
Yeah. I said, I don't have my own answers. All I have is a series of ideas which could be applicable when the whole universe is viewed from different angles. So when it comes to the question of death, what I think is that death must exist so that life can continue.
Yeah.
In that circle.
Yeah.
That people must die so that new people will take their places.
Yeah.
I don't know if that is an answer in itself, but I think it is an idea that will help me to understand why people have to die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I think I'm more of a scientist, but I know as a fact that the world is spiritual in nature.
Yeah.
There's a physical component, but I believe that I am a soul in a body. I don't believe that I am a body which has a soul. You know the difference, yeah.
Yeah.
And so my answer has to include something that allows me to live beyond this life.
All right.
Also, I need to believe the world is sensible, not just cruel. You know, you can totally think the world is a cruel, horrible place.
Yeah.
And so my picture has to make the world have a meaning and a reason for cruelty. And so I make it that we both have to satisfy ourselves. We don't have to satisfy each other. So I satisfy myself by making a picture that includes a reason for suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I was the little baby that died from not having any food.
Yeah.
Or I will be the little baby that dies without having any food. and I will be the parent who is unable to feed my child. And I will be the rich landowner, and I will be the poor slave. And I will just keep coming and coming and coming back again and again and again.
Yeah.
And that's what we all are doing. And this is how, and I include a God in this picture. This is how we become more and more godly, more like angels ourselves. We learn and we learn and we learn every possible thing to learn.
Yeah.
That's how my picture goes. And then I can be satisfied that I'm having a lovely life.
Yeah.
And someone else is having a terrible life.
Yeah.
And this is how I satisfy myself, that it's all going to be okay in the end, because we will trade places. But of course, this, who knows what is true? I do not know what is true. And this could be just a way for me to live with myself. You understand, I could be a hypocrite, mm-hmm. inventing this picture only to be happy with myself.
Yeah.
But I don't know. No other picture makes sense to me, so I pick this picture. And then the whole world can make sense to me.
Yes.
But I don't know what the truth is. I only know that that satisfies me.
Yeah. I think having a way of consoling ourselves is necessary for our lives. Hmm. Because there are so many questions that I think we cannot answer for ourselves. So when we bother ourselves with the problem so much, at last we have to find a way of cooling ourselves down.
Yeah, I'll stop that there and go on for next week, part two. Thank you for listening. If you have any comments or suggestions, you could try my website, reasoningwithanoptimist.net, or my email, jackmills@mac.com. And try to listen again next week. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Bye-bye.